Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Listening to The Coming Out Tapes, an audio archive of LGBT stories. I'm your host, Keris Bradley, and throughout this season I'll be talking to lots of different people from the community about lots of different things connected to coming out.
Okay, so I'm now interviewing the wonderful Sarah Jones, whose lovely voice you heard in another episode in this season reading some incredible lesbian detective novel extracts.
Oh, man, I'm not going to listen to this.
Would you mind introducing yourself to the listeners?
Hello, yes, my name is Sarah Jones. I am a microbiologist. Like, do you want that kind of thing as well? Oh, cool. Yes, my name is Sarah Jones. I'm a microbiologist and a comedian and, yeah, that's me.
And how do you identify?
I would say bisexual.
Why would you say bisexual?
Because, it's true, actually. I don't know really why I say bisexual rather than pansexual, because it's not like I feel solely attracted to two genders. I think the reason is... So, yeah, the reason I picked the term bisexual, I think, is due to longevity, really. Just because when I was first thinking about my kind of sexuality, I hadn't heard the term pansexual. So, yeah, it's not that I wouldn't... maybe it's time for an update. I don't really know, but... So I think it's just when I first started thinking in my own mind about how I identify and like when I initially started telling the initial few people I told, both the concept of like other genders hadn't really been like a thing I'd been exposed to, and I hadn't heard the term pansexual. So I think it's just out of history, really.
So when did you first come out, like, to yourself?
Yeah, it was a bit of a process, I think, because, because when I was about 13 or 14, I still didn't really fancy anyone, and I thought, oh, something wrong with me, and people, like, my friends would kind of sort of be like, oh, don't you think that man's sexy? And I'd be like, I don't know what sexy is. And then when I first started fancying people, I started fancying women, so I thought that maybe that's why I was going to turn out to be gay. When I was sort of 15, 16, I started fancying, like, both people, I'd say, but I kind of denied it to myself because I'd seen people make fun of people for fancying women, and I'd heard my friends make comments like, back when I hadn't fancied anyone, I'd said something along the lines of, oh, I don't really fancy men, to my friends, and they were like, oh, you know, don't stay around our house then, or whatever, which... had meant that I didn't really want to talk about exploring sexuality with those people. So I think the first time I told anyone I was bisexual was when I had finished my degree, so I would have been 22, and I mean I'd been in like one relationship as a teenager, and since then I'd been like totally single for 4 years and like not, you know, dated anyone in any capacity in that time. And I'd had a bit of a brain reset during my degree, like in terms of like I'd had a big like kind of nervous breakdown, and afterwards I was just trying to like piece my life together, I think, and part of that included being honest a little bit. So I told one of my friends who is LGBT, but I didn't actually know that at the time. And and then at the same time I told my brother about a week later, and that is a story I might tell you about later. Then I didn't tell anyone else for another sort of 4 years because I ended up going out with a man. And then I went into that classic feeling of, oh, can I say I'm bisexual when I'm dating a man kind of thing? Then I didn't tell anyone until I was about 27. And then when that relationship ended, I started telling more people. And then since I've moved to London, I've basically been pretty open about it to anyone. So it was a long history.
So you like said that you were sort of having these feelings first when you were 15, 16, and then you didn't tell anyone until you were in university. And during that time, you had a brain reset / nervous breakdown. And then also I sort of related this, you made a deliberate choice not to talk to your friends about it because they signaled to you that they wouldn't be welcoming. The impression that I got from the way that you said that was that it wasn't like a light bulb moment, now I have this thing that I want to tell everyone. It was a thing that you needed to maybe talk to people to kind of work out.
Yeah.
What kind of effect do you think that it had on you to carry this thing that you weren't really sure about, that you needed to think through with someone else for like half a decade?
Yeah, it did weigh on me a lot, obviously. And I constantly found myself in this flipping back and forth of, oh, maybe I'm gay, maybe I'm not bisexual, maybe I'm gay, and I was sort of lying to myself about liking men. And then I would flip back the other way and sort of say, oh, maybe I'm just trying to look for something interesting about myself. I don't know, that I'm keeping to myself for some reason. And then think the other way and think like, oh, maybe I'm straight. And again, it all felt very scary. And I think it felt like it was something to be ashamed of. And like a couple of things actually happened in uni where I heard female friends sort of say, not so much the thing where they're afraid I might fancy them type thing, but more along the lines of people making out like bisexuals are doing it for attention. So then I was afraid to say because of that. And so just like not even major things that people have said, like none of these things have been horrifically homophobic in any of these instances. They've just been very minor things that have just sort of made me think, oh, I don't want them to think differently of me. I don't want them to think I'm a different person to who they knew before. That just sort of made it increasingly difficult. And then people I'd known for years, it became more and more like, why didn't I say anything before? And now it's been so long, why haven't I said anything? And that's even true to this day. There's people I sort of haven't told, and I think it's been so long now, how do I bring this up without, particularly because I'm now in a relationship with a bloody man again, they get everywhere. So it just, again, feels like I'm just, I don't know. But yeah, it wasn't ideal. There's my summary on that. And I wouldn't advise anyone else to do it. I'd advise people to bloody well tell people when they first think about it so that they don't get into this situation.
So do you have any like memorable coming out stories?
So I told my brother, as I mentioned, and he sort of went down the classic route of, but how do you know? How have you come to this decision? And I was, and I sort of explained to him that really the moment I realized it was the moment I told my friend, the first person I kind of told, as the words came out of my mouth, I was like, oh yeah, that's true. That is absolutely how I feel. And so I told him that, and he was like, oh yeah, but you're still really young. How are you gonna ensure this is true, kind of thing? Like, you know, have you dated women and blah blah blah? And I was like, you fully know that I've dated basically no one, and I have been celibate for 4 years, not through choice. So that wasn't great. So that, yeah, that sort of pushed me back a few years as well of not bringing it up again, because even if the most liberal people I know react like that, then it felt a bit like, what's the point of saying these things?
Have you had any positive experiences?
Yeah, so like my best friends, when I told them, they were super supportive. They were like, cool, basically. In fact, I had to come up with, I did come out to a group of my friends on a hen do, because there was like a barmaid who was really fit, and it was a choice between flirting or not flirting, and I went for the flirt. So I told a group of people, and they were, some of them were people I barely knew, and they were people who, like, I guess I misjudged initially, because like, I just met them. They were all very Hindu-y women, if you get my meaning. And I thought it was going to be a bit like, ooh, but everybody was just like, yeah, that barmaid is fit. And just like, it was so nice just to have that thing where everybody was just like talking as if it was, I'd mentioned a fit barman. Like, they just like ran with it, just made me feel included. And that was just really nice. It was really nice to not have a single person in that group of about 15 people be even slightly hesitant to be supportive. That was a surprise, and a really pleasant surprise. So.
I love how you were like, I had to come out to these people because I had to flirt with this barmaid. There was no other option. Yeah. So what does coming out mean to you then?
Ooh, that's quite a difficult question, really. I suppose it's just saying the words, because I think in the past, there's been people I've met, in the recent past, there's been people I've met who I've just sort of talked openly about fancying women and men to, and not really come out in the sense of, like, I didn't have to say the words. So I think the big moments for me have been saying the words, because that's helped crystallize my identity to myself. And before the last couple of years, every single time I said, like, I'm bisexual. God, this can also go in the outtakes, bisexual. Every time I said I'm bisexual to someone, it felt like I was getting over this huge step and like putting my head above the parapet and kind of risking people asking me all sorts of ridiculous questions, or trying to like that they might say, I don't believe you, or make fun of me behind my back or something. So yeah, but I think for me, the words have had a lot of power. Is that okay?
So those are all my questions. If people want to come see you do comedy, or maybe they want to hire you to read some audiobooks, where can people check out your work?
So you can find me on my website, which is sarahjokes.com, or you can find me on Twitter, which is where I'm at sarah_jokes. I'm on Instagram, but not very frequently, at sarahelizabeth.jones. Yeah, I gig around the place. They're usually up on my website, or on my Twitter feed as well. And I don't think I have anything else to publicise. So, because I'm trying to finish my PhD. Yeah, cool. Thank you for having me.
As promised, here is the final recording of Sarah Jones reading lesbian detective novels.
I'm reading from Fallen from Grace, a Helen Black mystery by Pat Welsh. I'm reading chapter 9. Shall I do Helen's voice in a different voice to my own? Because it's hard, yeah, because they don't say like Helen said after everything, do they? Right. What voices am I capable of doing? I'm guessing this is set in America or somewhere. Yeah, but I don't feel confident in doing an American accent. That wouldn't be horrendous. So I'll do it right, hang on. Right. Helen is gonna be properly posh and Vicky's gonna be Welsh. That's the Vicky Young picked up the last cookie on the plate, then put it down again. No, please, you take it. I've had plenty. That's well Helen's voice, isn't it? Vicky Young picked up the last cookie on the plate, then put it back down again. I've just put back in that sentence, it wasn't there. Vicky Young picked up the last cookie on the plate, then put it down again. No, please, you take it. I've had plenty, Helen said. Vicky shook her head. I really shouldn't. You should see my desk at work. Candy bars and muffins and chocolate hidden away everywhere. And I wouldn't want to answer for the state of my purse either. That makes no sense in a Welsh accent. Why has she got cake in her purse? Helen smiled. Indulge, why not? You're sure? When Helen nodded, she picked it up again and broke it apart. At first, after that crazy meeting when Leslie smashed the bottle, I was surprised that no one said anything about it. But of course, I'm just the temp. No one would say anything to me anyway. And offices like Centurion are just...
I just love that this Welsh person works at Centurion.
And offices like Centurion are just like dysfunctional families. No one talks about anything, and there's massive denial going on at all times. She sighed and popped half the cookie into her mouth. Every day at Centurion has been like the first. I go up to my little sanctuary on the 7th floor and never see anyone. No one? Well, maybe once in a while someone will come up to use the shredder or the fax or something. They're still getting fax machines and stuff like that set up throughout the building, so there's always people fighting to use them. That's when they make the journey up to the 7th floor. For the most part, I'm by myself. She smiled and took a bite of cookie. It's really unclear who's saying what.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
A hall floor all alone. Very weird. Donna Stethins plopped me down at that huge desk and left me alone to play computer games until her face darkened and she put the remaining half of her cookie down on the plate. Until that guy came upstairs yelling about Leslie. And that's the first you heard or saw of it, Vicky. She nodded, popping the last portion of cookie into her mouth. Unless someone wants to shred something, I almost never see a soul. I just sit there and put information into their computers, names and phone numbers of potential customers to call once they get there. This is such a weird selection of 80s like tech info. Names and phone numbers of potential customers to call once they've got their toll-free system put in place. She grinned. Haven't seen your name yet, Helen, so I guess you're not on the list to get one of those annoying phone calls during dinner, trying to get you to buy something. Helen, propped up on her elbows at the kitchen table, marvelled at Mrs. Young and at her own ignorance. Here they were, sitting in an enormous, colour-coordinated... Sorry. It's just because this next sentence makes a Welsh person so weird to be here. Here they were, sitting in an enormous, colour-coordinated, all-American kitchen. Colour-coordinated, all-American kitchen. It had everything. A huge butcher's block in the centre of the room, polished copper pots and polished copper pots and pans hanging from hooks in the ceiling. An oversized refrigerator that rumbled away, making little ice cubes throughout the conversation. Mrs. Young's kitchen glorified the epitome of consumer goods and material comforts that Helen, after years in Berkeley, associated with complacent middle-class family values. I don't know why that's in inverted commas. It's really weird. Yet Vicky sat across the scrubbed pine table, eating homemade chocolate chip cookies, talking easily about the shortcomings of the corporate lifestyle. As the descendant of dirt-poor Mississippi farmers...
This is so weird now. As the descendant of dirt-poor Mississippi farmers, carrying a heritage of racism and ignorance... It's not funny at all. It's just like, imagine her having a posh English accent and the other one having a Welsh accent for no reason. I should have read ahead.
As the descendant of dirt-poor Mississippi farmers, carrying a heritage of racism and ignorance, Helen had never quite gotten over her timidity around wealth. No matter how many times she had come into contact with rich and powerful people, no matter how often she'd been able to hold her own quite well with them, Helen still felt as if she'd come in by the wrong door whenever she was in a situation like this one. It was the emotional equivalent of checking under her fingernails for dirt from the fields. And it was even harder when the people involved were quite naturally nice and friendly. What made you take up temp work? Helen asked, suddenly curious. Vicky laughed and got up, carrying the empty plate over to the sink. My husband asks me the same thing all the time, she said, running the water. Of course, he's worked so hard to give me and Alison everything we could want. Jim's doing the best to understand how I need a life too. She turned and smiled. He's even got past asking when dinner will be ready the minute he... Fucking hell. He's even got past asking when dinner will be ready the minute he hits the door coming home. But why temporary jobs? Helen got up, carrying her teacup with her, and leaned against the counter while Vicky rinsed the plate. Why not go back to school or interview for a permanent job?
Why have I made Vicky like a character from Richard Curtis film. Vicky, what are you doing?
Vicky set the plate in the drainer and reached for the dish towel that... Vicky set the plate in the drainer. Why can't I speak? It's like when there's a microphone there, like I can't say words anymore. Vicky set the plate in the drainer and reached for the dish towel that hung from a hook above the sink. I don't really know what to do, Helen, she said. At 57, I've done a lot of different things in my time. Housewife and mother, PTA mom, administrative assistant in my husband's firm. I headed the League of Women Voters for many years. I've taken computer classes and gone to management seminars and even, she grinned, done some new age kind of retreat work. I know, hard to believe. This place looks as if the head of the Republican National Committee could walk through that door at any moment, doesn't it? Helen laughed as they went back to the table. I guess I've lived in the People's Republic of Berkeley just a little too long. Impulsively, hesitant at first, Vicky reached over and touched Helen's hand. Ooh. Vicky's I want you to know that that both of us are very, very happy for Alison. Thank you, Helen murmured. The best thing that ever happened to that girl was to get away from her husband. Vicky shook her head and a shadow of anger crossed her face. There was nothing we could do. She kept... Oh no, it's still Helen talking. Sorry. It wasn't very clear. There was nothing we could do. She kept going back to him. I think it might have been a reaction to Jim and me. We were so liberal, especially for Orn. Was Jim her husband? Yeah, so it makes... Yeah, I'm doing the right accent. We were so liberal, especially for Orinda. I think it's Orinda. We were so liberal, especially for Orinda, that it frightened her. She was looking for something rock solid, I guess. Well, in my experience, the only things in life that are rock solid are...
Oh my God, I'm going to use that in my stand-up. Incredible.
Well... In my experience, the only things in life that are rock solid are rocks. That's why you're good for Alison. Shake her up a little. Vicky's smile faded. Of course, we had no idea that you were a private investigator. I was completely shocked when you walked in the door with tight butt. Tight butt? Oh, that's just my private name for Donna Stephens. You know, wants to sleep with the boss, but he isn't having any. So she prances around on her high heels for him all day. I see, tight butt. I'll have to remember that. Helen finished her tea and glanced at her watch. In another hour, she was due to head over to Tina Merrick's house to go through the personal items for Leslie's office. By the way, did you ever meet Tina or Leslie Merrick? It's Helen again, so they could really do it with making clear who's speaking. By the way, did you ever meet Tina or Leslie Merrick? Tina, Leslie's mother, lives a few blocks away, and I know for the last couple of months Leslie had been living at home. Vicky shook her head. No, I don't think so. I may have seen Tina at the grocery store or something like that, but I wouldn't have known her. And I certainly would have remembered seeing Leslie. I guess they kept to themselves. Any gossip from Leslie? Vicky frowned as she thought. Then suddenly... I'm doing my own voice partial now, aren't I? That's weird. Vicky frowned as she thought, then sadly shook her head. Like I said, people don't talk to me much. Or they're nice enough, friendly for the most part, but I don't think they really count, you know? Oh, sorry. Or they're nice enough... Friendly for the most part, but I don't really count, you know. They come up and fax something somewhere. Sometimes they say hello and sometimes they don't. Then they go back through that door and I'm alone again, playing solitaire. Sounds pretty awful. whose voice was that? And I was like, nobody's. Sounds pretty awful. Am I like slightly Australian now? That's really weird. I think I'm channeling Claire McNabb now. This is my English voice. Right, okay. Sounds pretty awful. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. Actually, it's given me a lot of time to work on my resume and set up interviews. I've decided after this to get out of temping and look for a real job at a much smaller company. Helen stood up. I can't thank you enough, Vicky, for not giving me away today and for... Ooh, what did she not give her away at? This is what you get for reading chapter 9, isn't it? I can't thank you enough, Vicky, for not giving me away today and for the cookies and conversation. Are you sure you can't stay for dinner? Jim should be home from the golf course in a few minutes and I was going to whip up some stir fry. No, really, I have to be going. Tina will be waiting for me.
What voice do you want me to do for them? Horrendous Australian or...
Yeah, go for it. Okay. G'day, I'm... Why am I like a man as well? I've got a proper deep voice for Kylie. G'day, I'm Carly Kendall. I thrust up my hand. Oh, it's in the first person. Didn't see that coming. That's even more complicated then, isn't it? Because then when I thrust out my hand, I should still be in my own voice, presumably. Yeah. G'day, I'm Carly Kendall. I thrust out my...
So hard.
G'day. G'day, I'm Carly Kendall. I thrust out my... I can't do it, I've become too much of a cockney. Like Ross phasing it out. G'day. I'm Carly Kendall. I thrust out my hand. And I reckon you're...
This is such a hard sentence. Because it's like... Because it's in quotation marks, it's really hard to read it out.
G'day, I'm... G'day. G'day. Professionalism. G'day. I'm Carly Kendall. I thrust up my hand. And I reckon you're Ariana Creeling. The woman seated behind the broad black... The woman seated behind the broad black desk had pale... Oh, fucking hell, sir. Learn to read. The woman seated behind the broad black desk had pale blonde hair pulled back from her still, cool face. I immediately wished I had eyes like hers. Icy blue. Mine are boring brown. She repeated, Kylie Kendall? As if I'd unexpectedly popped out of a hole in the ground and she had no idea what to do with me. Then she got up and came round to shake my hand, fast and hard. I'm Ariana Creeling. Again, may I say how sorry I am about your father? That's really weird that they keep introducing each other, isn't it? I'd spoken to her once before, when she'd rung from Los Angeles 2 months ago to say my dad had suddenly died. I'd been shell-shocked by the news. I could still remember how I liked her American voice. American voice. Now that we were face to face, her accent didn't seem quite so strong. She was older than me, almost as tall, and she needed to put on some weight. Of course, black slimming, like my mum always tells me, so the fact that Ariana Creeling was wearing black, from head to foot, black top, black pants, black high-heeled boots, probably made her look thinner than she really was. I looked down at myself. Quite a contrast. No one's ever called me skinny. Plus, I hadn't had time to change from the plane, so I was in jeans and a t-shirt, both a bit grubby. What I wouldn't have given for a hot shower, after 12 hours in a Qantas jet. There's just there's commas in really weird places in Claire McNabb's book. And then, like, okay. I think she doesn't mean commas as pauses, I think is the key thing here. What I wouldn't have given for a hot shower after 12 hours in a Qantas jet. Why is there a comma at all in that sentence? It's all one sentence. I've come straight here from the airport, I said. You flew from Australia today? You must be tired. She didn't sound too concerned. Oh, I mean, I sounded quite concerned when I read her sentence out. You flew from Australia today? You must be tired. Like, how can Americans not sound concerned? You flew from Australia today?
You must be tired. She didn't sound too concerned, but at least she added, would you like some coffee? Tea? Tea would be great. Black. Two sugars. Ariana picked up the phone and pressed a button. Melody? I had a fair suspicion she wasn't going to get a reply. Hope I'm not dobbing someone in, I said. But there was no one at the front desk. The sign said Melody, but Melody wasn't there. What is happening? Waited around for a bit. The sign said Melody, but Melody wasn't there. Waited around for a bit, then shoved my suitcase behind the chair and came looking for you. I imagine she's off at one of her many auditions. Ariana didn't sound too chuffed about it. Oh, it's getting to the stage where it's hard to say, work out who's saying what again. You know, like in terms of me reading it out. But doing an Australian and American voice will be horrific.
A ridiculous Australian accent.
G'day, I'm Carly Kendall. I thrust out my hand. And I reckon you're... My supervisor is Australian. Isn't it ridiculous that I can't do it? And I reckon you're Ariana Creel.
Listening to this episode of The Coming Out Tapes. I have been your host, Keris Bradley, and I would like to say thanks to Scary Boots for the artwork, which is available to purchase on Redbubble, Michaela Moody for the music, and Alex Lathbridge of the Smart Material Collective for his support of the project. If you want to get involved, please tweet at us, because we'd love to hear your thoughts, comments, and questions. If you liked this episode, subscribe and leave us a review or recommend us to a friend, because it makes a big difference.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.